Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
This is State of Emergency.
Let's go get them, guys.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. Per usual, we are back, ready to give you the best episode of Chicks in the Office in a while, I would say. Listen, every episode is amazing. Last one, we did Blunt Body. We were back from vacation. Big surprise. This one is even better.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Like I said, this podcast is a great one. We have Brandy and Tish Cyrus on this episode. And if you thought they were legends before, you're going to think they're even more so now. I'm obsessed with the Cyrus family. Like, I need them to adopt me. It's amazing. We'll get into that. But Fran, how are you doing on this lovely Sunday afternoon? You just got back from the beach. You're looking fresh.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It was a nice weekend. You know, I came back from Martha's Vineyard. Sad to leave my parents and my dogs, but I'll be back and got some beach time in today. It was really, really nice. And truly, like, besides work, I've been reading so much. You've seen my Instagram stories. I've really been pumping up these books. And I just have actually, I've really been enjoying it and have actually, like, really been reading a lot. And right now I'm reading The Royal We, which, let me tell you, I don't know. I'm like mad at everybody for not telling me to read this book before. It's been out for years. I don't know how people did not tell me to read this book. The book is literally I've been crying reading this book, and it's not a book you should probably be crying at. Like, it's an American falling in love with the Prince of England, like very Meghan Markle, but it's not Harry. It would be the equivalent of Will. And oh my God, ups, downs, heartbreak. I was in bed on a Saturday night reading and straight up crying alone, where I was like, I really should not be crying about this. Like, it's ridiculous, but I'm almost done. It was fantastic. The sequel just came out, so I'm actually kind of glad that I waited, because I can immediately read the sequel. But having a good time being a little bookworm, I guess.
I will say that sounds lovely. And even though you were crying, it sounds pretty relaxing. It sounds like you enjoyed it. Fuck the people who
didn't
tell you about the
story.
Book.
I know. Unbelievable.
It sounds like it's right up your alley, and I'm pretty mad at the people who didn't share it with you prior, but at least you're reading it now. At least there's a sequel to jump into right after.
Exactly. How are you, Rhea? You have big news. I thank you for letting me talk about my books for 3 seconds, because drum roll, big news from Rhea.
Life update. I got a dog named Norman, and he's cute as fuck. He is
so fucking cute.
He's so cute. He's a mini dachshund, and he is just adorable. I know that I haven't really talked about, like, wanting a dog on this podcast. It's been in my brain for a while. I've just
a
been,
long
like,
time.
A long time.
You've talked about it on radio too, which, you know, like, when we had a radio show. Like, I feel like you talked about that possibility many, many times on radio.
Right. And it was many months ago I talked about it. Yeah. But finally, me and Hank, we pulled the trigger. We got a little puppy and he's adorable. And I just feel like I have so much love to give to him and he has so much love to give to me. And I saw so many people saying like, oh, getting a dog just does wonders for your mental health. And I think he's going to do wonders for mine. I'm going to do great things for him. And we are just going to be the greatest of pals. He's sitting on my lap right now. He's so adorable.
Cry. He Fran, just cuddles. Oh.
Fran met him yesterday. Auntie Fran came over.
I did.
Tell them your experience with Norman.
Okay. He's so fucking cute, number one. Like I said, he is my nephew and I love him with every fiber of my being. And he, first of all, what is just the cutest thing, especially about dogs, is dogs just like, they just know, man. They just know. Like, it was crazy because I came into the house and everyone was in the backyard and we were, you know, everybody's hanging out and with Rhea's family. And Rhea, this dog, just knows that Rhea is his mom. Like, it's been mere hours since the dog has come home and he, like, would not leave Rhea's side, would snuggle up to Rhea, would chase after Rhea when she got up, would like start to cry when Rhea got up from the couch. Like, this dog knows who his mommy is. That's for sure. It's crazy to me. He's just like, there are so many other people. Like, he was spending equal amount of time with like everybody, I feel like, but he just knew that you were going to be the one taking him home, you know?
Right. And by so many people, let me clarify, my family members. Yeah, so people don't know that I was, people don't think that I was having like some rager.
No. I have so many people like your parents and your sister
and my brother and Fran and Kelly Keegs.
And that's it.
So there were multiple people he could have gone to, but he just wanted to be with me. Like, he would only run when I ran. He just knew I was his mom. It was meant to be. It was love at first sight. He's so tiny. He's got these big ass paws and people are like, oh, you know what that means? He's going to be a big dog, but he's a mini dachshund. So I don't think he's going to be that big. Apparently, you know, he's not supposed to be bigger than 10 pounds.
I think he just has clompers.
Like, I think he's got big ass feet and it's adorable.
He's just got big feet.
He's
so
listening.
Cute.
He's biting the wire now. He's like, fuck you, mommy. I don't have big feet.
Yeah. How is his relationship with Hank going?
Oh, it's amazing. They love each other. It was love at first sight for him too. Actually, so people are like, you know, you got to crate train him because if you just put him in the bed immediately, he's never going to not sleep in the bed. He's just always going to want to sleep in your bed. So first night, we had him in the crate at around 11 p.m. We put him in. And until 6 in the morning, he slept. He just was so good. I'm sure that's going to change. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some tough nights. I'm aware of that. It's not going to be all rainbows and butterflies. But so far, he's been such a joy. He's been going to the bathroom outside. And he's just been so pleasant. He's been sleeping a lot, obviously, because he's a little puppy. And yeah, I'm just really excited to see him grow up, honestly, because it's so crazy because he's so tiny now and such a little puppy. I can't wait for him to be just like a little man. Like, he knows his surroundings. Yeah. He knows what he's getting into. Right now, he's a little confused, obviously, just trying to figure out his way. He's like, Fran saw it yesterday. We were trying to give him treats and he was almost acting like he was blind, but that's besides the point. He's still adorable.
He's figuring out where he is.
He's finding his way in the world.
Total change of scenery for him, and he's doing great already.
Yes.
He's going to be – and he's just – and I also, like, I was just saying it to Noah. He is so much smaller in real life. It's unbelievable. Like, he's so – pictures don't do it justice. He's so tiny and cute. Oh my God, I love him.
He's currently biting my headphones, but that's fine. We let him do it because he's so cute. And I'm also trying to, if anybody has any tips for mini dachshunds, but I'm trying to like positively train him. Like, when he does something bad, I'm not like, no, Norman. Like, I'm like, don't do that, Norman. Come on. Let's be better, Norman. I'm just trying to
going with the path of a disappointed parent instead of a mad parent. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Exactly. Because I wouldn't want to be screamed at. So I'm not going to scream at him because he's a little puppy. He doesn't know any better. So yeah. I'm open to him making accidents and doing crazy things. I know that's going to happen. And there's just nothing going on at this point in my life besides doing this podcast.
He'll learn, he'll learn from it.
And
you know, you should. You know who you should ask for some tips?
Normie wanted to say hi on the podcast.
I know.
Say hi, Chicks
that
and
was
Office
his debut.
Listeners. I love you guys. I love you, listeners. That's what Normie's saying right now.
I was going to say, you should ask Chaps for some dog training tips.
Oh, he's crying.
He doesn't agree. He's like, no, do not ask Chaps training tips.
He's like, you're doing perfectly fine, mommy. I love you.
Oh, yeah. You're letting me do whatever I want. No training.
No. I'm really excited. So obviously I have to take him to the vet this week because I want to make sure that he's all good before I take him on the streets of New York City, because you know the streets of New York City. Never know what's on him. So haven't gone for any walks yet, but I'm really excited for our daily walks multiple times a day. One for him, because I think it's going to be so much fun watching him just like interact and be on the street with other dogs and just having fun and getting
little dog,
playtime
little
in.
Dog big
but
city.
I also think it's going to be great for me for getting into a schedule, getting some exercise in. Like, me and Normie are just going to be great for each other. Our brains, our health, everything, right, Normie?
Yes. Look at him. He's so cute.
Oh, I'm obsessed with him. I really am. Yeah. And it's like love at first sight. And I love him so much today, but I can't even imagine how much I'm going to love him in like a month from now. You know what I mean? Like, it's only going to grow, even if he's going to act like a little bad boy sometimes.
Totally.
Like, he's just.
I mean, I legit cried leaving my dogs coming back here. Like, I left so early. And I don't live with them. They live with my parents. But when we got them, I lived at home. And I was leaving and they just both were standing at the door and their tails were like sad wagging and they were looking at me and I was like, ugh, bye. But it's true. Like, that's what I'm just saying. Like, your love will only grow like a child. He is your child.
He is. It kind of freaks me out when people say that, though, when they're like, oh,
I know it. I know, like, okay, it does. But
I get it, but I'm also not. Yes. I also saw people in my DMs, which I thought was fucking crazy. I understand completely that having a dog is so hard. Like, I get it. It's going to be so hard. But people were writing to me that it's harder than children. And to that, I have to say, you have to be out of your fucking mind, because children, you got to send them to school. You got to make sure, like, there's just so many, that's the one thing I can name, but there's just so many things with children. It's like a real life human being. Like, obviously this is a life I need to take care of. And he's biting my headphones again.
But like, totally. But exactly. And also just like financially,
you gotta, I thought that was wild. I was like, there is just no way that could be true. Even though I know this is going to be hard, but it's going to be so worth it. Right, Normie? Right, Normie? Oh, and people were wondering why I named him Norman. I love old people names for dogs. I think it's hilarious, especially for this kind of dog. He just looks like a Norman. And his nickname is Normie, or Norm, if you want to be serious about it. Oh, and then people were like, did you name him
Kylie Jenner?
I did not even remember that Kylie Jenner's dog was named Norman when I named him Norman. If I did know that, I probably would have thought about different names. I'm going to be completely honest, because I would have then thought, oh, people are going to think I'm naming it because of Kylie Jenner. Didn't even cross my mind. So Norman is special. He is his own dog. He owns the name Norman, and he is ready for friends. If you want to send pictures of your doggies, he likes looking at them. Look at Norman. Okay. enough about him. We're going to spoil him too much. And he's, like I said, biting my headphones. I have a feeling he's going to go to the bathroom on me during this recording, because it's very possible, because I actually did take him out right on my balcony right before we started recording so that he can go. But Hank is at the office right now, so he can't watch him while we record. So he's just sitting on my lap. He's been good so far, though. So let's see how he does, right, Normie?
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. You don't go on my lap. But if you do, it's okay. I'm just disappointed. Not mad at you, Norman. Positive only, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's get into the topics for today's episode. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about the sad news of Naya Rivera. We also are going to be talking about Will Smith and Jada Smith Red Table Talk and the entanglement news. And we're also going to be talking about Brooklyn Beckham getting engaged. You all thought he was like 12 years old. He's not. He's 21. And of course, we have one of our best interviews yet with Brandy and Tish Cyrus. Honestly, we talked about getting high and weed for like 35 minutes straight. And
yeah,
even if you don't smoke, you will appreciate just how much Tish Cyrus loves getting high. Great stories about Billy Ray. Great stories about Miley. Just great things about the Cyrus family. So let's get into it. Starting off with Will and Jada Smith.
I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face.
As you've probably seen in recent weeks, Jada Smith was being accused of having an affair with August Alsina. Originally, it was denied in a statement, but then she brought herself to the Red Table Talk on Facebook Watch, her show, with Will Smith, and shit went down. It was actually hilarious.
Jada Pinkett Smith is, I mean, first of all, it's one of those things with their relationship. And there's been so many rumors about them in the past. They either have like the coolest relationship or like the weirdest relationship, you know? It's because sometimes I'm like, wow, they've done some cool shit. They've been through some crazy times. They've still ended up together. They've fought through it all. Good for them. And then it's also like, how? This is some weird stuff. So I guess, you know, they had denied it before, but Jada basically explained that, you know, a few years back they had broken up and she had a friendship with August and that friendship turned into more of a relationship.
Entanglement.
Entanglement. And then Will and Jada were able to work through their problems and it ended up, you know, getting back together. But this is all something that they had to address. Who knows what Will Smith was doing during that time? Like I saw Margot Robbie's name was kind of trending in all this because years back when they were doing, Focus. Yes. I couldn't remember if for some reason I was thinking Suicide Squad, but Will Smith was not in Suicide Squad.
Yes, he was.
He was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
it was both movies.
Both movies, but Focus came first. That they were having some kind of like affair on the set of that movie. And so her name started trending again because people were like, does the timeline add up? Like, was this when they were broken up? But the Red Table Talk is so entertaining because Jada has just made it a point where in their family, when they're going through something, they take it to the Red Table and they put it out there for everybody to watch.
And I honestly appreciate that. And I think that we need to focus on the funniest part of this whole thing was that, number one, she denied the relationship at first, and then she comes out and she's like, we had an entanglement. And Will Smith is like, an entanglement?
Yeah.
You mean a relationship? I just think that she was so in denial of the fact that she had not even an affair because they had broken up. So it's not an affair.
Right.
It was a relationship with this man. She doesn't even want to admit it, that she's calling it an entanglement.
Yeah. Just, and she has to explain it to her husband's face?
In denial. But I think, honestly, that from what I got from this was that Will Smith was fed up with Jada because he even said, he was like, I was done with your shit. I was done with your ass. And she was like, yeah, you were. And she was like, I did me, you did you. And what I got from that was that Jada may have been the reasoning that they split up.
Yeah.
And then Will Smith kind of was like, all right, I'm gonna do my own thing now because you're doing your own thing. And then later on, he kind of, not insinuated a hall pass, but he just was like joking around with Jada and she was like, oh, you know, you did your thing. So I feel like almost had like an open relationship. That's been the rumors around LA, is that they did have an open relationship. Yeah. And maybe by open relationship, people were getting confused at the fact that they weren't divorced.
They were broken up.
And they were broken up, but they weren't divorced. Yeah. So they were seeing other people. And, you know, the public didn't really know that Jada and Will were breaking up, because under everyone else's impression, people thought that Jada and Will had the best relationship. I mean, J. Cole even wrote about it in a song that Jada and that Will love. And people are like, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that Jada and Will love, if that means my girl's going to be an entanglement. No, but do you? Like, I guess if you put it in terms of, wow, they were so understanding of each other and not getting along at
the time.
And
they've just been through so much that they're still together.
And that,
or, you know,
they
got back
broke
together.
Up and they got back together. So maybe they really do have that love for each other. I'm sure they do, honestly, because they wouldn't have gotten back together. So I guess that there is another side of it where it's like, okay, you can appreciate the fact that they broke up, did their thing, got back together. But
like, is
I
it
also
aspirational
think,
or is it like, maybe
is it also like, I don't really know about like Jada calling. I think it just makes me uncomfortable that she called it an entanglement altogether. I think that's the biggest takeaway I had, was that she was so in denial that she had a relationship with this man.
It's a good word for it. I'm not going to lie. Like, and that wasn't anything. I wasn't cheating. It was just like a little, we just got a little tangled. Just a little
we got tangled up. We got a little tangled
a little
up.
Entanglement.
A little entanglement. Nothing
and then
crazy.
And I like it too, because it also has the connotation of being able to untangle, you know, like there was an entanglement, we got tangled, but you can untangle a tangle, and now
and then
been
lie
untangled.
About it, like,
and then
I just,
lie, yes.
I didn't I
and,
just
and
didn't
try
appreciate
and deny it
that she denied it at first, because you're making this guy who I actually know nothing about, so
nothing.
I'm sorry if, you know, if he like sucks as a person and I'm like sticking up for him, I really have no idea anything about him. But I will say it made me kind of mad that she denied it at first and made him look so stupid and made him look shady and made him look like he was trying to get in the limelight and this and that, the other thing, when it was true. Like, he wasn't lying that they had a relationship. And when he said that Will gave him permission, and she was mad because he said that Will gave him permission.
Right.
I do think that when they said that, it means that Will was just okay with it, was more of what he was saying when he meant that Will gave permission. Like,
like,
you know,
Will,
Jada doesn't need permission to do anything. She's her own
they were
woman
broken
and can
up.
Do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
It was more of just like Will was okay with it.
Yeah. And I guess I also didn't realize he is he's quite young, August.
Yes, he
27.
Is.
And
so he was even younger.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, what year was this technically? Or do they ever really say how long it was?
I don't think they ever said it, but
4.5 years ago. Pink, she said during she began her friendship with him 4.5 years ago, which developed into something more after she and Smith hit a rough patch. So they at least met 4.5 years ago.
But
so
he lived
he was
with
a
them.
Kid.
He lived with them, like, in their house before.
He lived with
oh,
them?
Oh, yeah,
in
that,
their
was
house?
That was an underlying storyline.
Like, he had a lot of issues, I guess, and I don't know if he was friends with Jaden, but they brought him in to, like, help him. And he lived with, like, Will and Jada.
Was this pre or post entanglement?
Pre.
And then that is why they got into the entanglement.
Okay. I gotcha.
Which is kind of sus of Jada. I'm not going to lie. Like, you're going to get into an entanglement with this kid that you're taking care of, because he's basically a kid to you at that point.
Yeah. Damn. You know, heat of the moment, you know, just
happened. She wanted it.
Happens.
She wanted August, and she got it.
Yeah. She tangled.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, stay with me.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So we got some absolutely heartbreaking news this week. Naya Rivera, Glee star, she was out on a lake in California. She had rented a pontoon boat with her four-year-old son. And we still don't really know the details. We just know that at some point, either she had gone for a swim or they had both gone for a swim. It's so sad. And on top of that, we are dealing with a four-year-old child who is trying to, I guess, explain to authorities what had happened. And he's a little boy. He's a little kid. So, you know, they had said that he told the police that she had gone for a swim. They had gone for a swim and that she never came back to the boat. The boat was found hours later after they had taken it out. He was asleep. Her son was asleep on the boat. And obviously Naya was gone. They've been searching for her for days now. And they have not found anything. I mean, it's so incredibly sad. I don't know if you saw Taj Mowry's Instagram post for her. They had grown up together and he was just talking about her like being his first love and everything. It was just so sad. I really like, I was crying reading it. It's devastating. It's just another string of like very bad things that have happened.
Right. Honestly, my heart absolutely breaks whenever I read about this story, read further into it, hear about it. The first time that I read it, I just was in absolute shock about the whole thing. And just thinking about her son being on this boat alone and somebody finding him, which is such a blessing, by the way. That's, you know, the one good thing you could take from this story was that her son was safe and he wasn't hurt at all and he was healthy and he's good. But I just can't help but, you know, have my heart break when I think about the fact that he potentially lost his mom forever. And he is now going to deal with that for the rest of his life. And he has people probably pressuring him about what had happened because he was the only witness at this point in time, but he's so young that It's really hard for him to really know what happened. And obviously they're, you know, they've been searching every day and nothing so far. It's just heartbreaking, incredibly, incredibly sad news. And, you know, everyone's hoping for the best. But at this point, it's like it's been a few days and searching and searching and searching. Nothing. They're going on to cabins now. I did read something about a jet ski that may have been following her. You know, people are writing a bunch of crazy things at this point, which I don't necessarily agree with everyone just making up things that could potentially have happened because somebody may have lost their life. But I do understand with people wanting to know what happened and trying to come up with answers, because right now there are really no answers.
Right. When there isn't immediately a body, it's a plethora of what ifs pop into everybody's mind. You know, authorities have said that she's presumed dead, but you never know. Like, and it's so sad because you also see like the outpouring of love for her. And you saw Heather Morris was on Twitter tweeting at the police being like, can you answer my phone call? Like, we want to set up a search party. We want to go and help look. So it's like you said, incredibly, incredibly sad. And we just hope the best for her son and her entire family to be able to get through this. Cause terrible. So, so terrible. It's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I want to marry you. Is it the look in your eyes? Or is it this dancing juice? Who cares, baby? I think I want to marry you. Well, I know this little chapel.
the cash we can blow. Shots of patrol. And it's on, girl.
Wedding bells coming up for Brooklyn Beckham. He is obviously the firstborn of David Beckham and Victoria Beckham, and they are overjoyed that he has proposed to Nicola Peltz. They're both very young. You know, he's 21. Is she also 21, or is she
she's 25.
A little bit older? She's 25. Okay, she's my age. So he's 21.
Yeah. I will say, I have been following this couple for, you know, as much as,
yeah, long
as
time,
long as
yeah.
they've been together. Yeah. They have been one of my favorite couples. I watched her when she was in Bates Motel. I loved that show and she was in it. So I've been following her for a while. And right when they started dating, obviously, everyone remembers when Brooklyn Beckham was dating Chloe Moretz, and that was an on and off relationship for a while. But when I saw that they started dating, honestly, I could just feel it through the Instagram that these two people are so in love with each other. Like, they're soulmates. I just know it. The pictures that they post, and, you know, because sometimes you see
that's
pictures.
That's beautiful.
You see pictures of couples.
I'm happy you could see that through Instagram.
No, I know. It sounds crazy. But sometimes you see pictures of couples on Instagram where you're like, you're like, oh, okay, that's a cute picture, I guess. But, like, I don't feel
try
your
again,
love.
Ben. Yeah.
With them, they are just so artsy and creative, and they just seem like they're so in love. Like, the things they write to each other on Instagram. I know that, you know, it's not, Instagram is not everything that you, everything that happens in real life. It's not
reality.
It's
all we see.
But it's all we see. And from what I'm seeing, they are meant to be. I'm rooting for this relationship, this marriage, so hard. A little background on Nicola. She dated Anwar Hadid for a while before he had been making out with Kendall Jenner at some point, and then moved on to date Dua Lipa. And they seem happy together as well at this point. But I'm just really happy for Brooklyn Beckham. And people were writing to us, oh, isn't he 12? Isn't he 15? You guys are thinking of Romeo. Brooklyn is, like Fran said, 21 years old.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even though it's a very young age and, you know, they haven't even been dating longer than a year, this is what happens with celebrity couples. This is what happens with kids of celebrity couples, especially Victoria and David, who have been together for so long. Brooklyn probably sees that love. And he wants something like it. And he sees a great marriage from his parents, from what we know. So I think that this is a really great thing, unless in 10 months from now, when we see that they have ended their engagement and break up, then I'm going to eat my words. But for now, I'm firmly standing on the side that I think that this is a great thing.
No, I'm with you on that too, because I was going to say exactly what you said about just look like having a marriage to look up to, because his parents, like David, I just wanted to go check. David was 24 when he married Victoria. So he was also young. They've been married for, you know, 20 years now. They got married in 1999. They have that, like, that's when you have that love from your parents, you're like, wow, that is something that I want in my life. So maybe Brooklyn just saw that and was like, look, this is the one, I know it, and I'm going to have that same kind of relationship. Now, Nicola, her father is also like a bajillionaire. Like, he is actually a billionaire. So the wedding, this wedding, talk about the invite of, that's the invite you want to get. Like, that is the invite you want to get, because I can't even imagine wherever this wedding is going to be. It's going to be epic. They obviously are both from two very wealthy families. There's going to be a lot of money put into it, I would assume, at least from, you know, the Peltz side of it.
Normally did you see what they did for Brooklyn's 21st birthday? That party looked like a wedding. So I can't even imagine what their wedding would look like.
It'll be insane. It's going to be ridiculous. I mean, Nicola is going to have Victoria Beckham as her mother-in-law, which is just like intimidating and awesome all at the same time. Like, I saw Victoria, you know, posted an Instagram congratulating them, and Nicole had commented on it, like, I'm the luckiest girl. Like, love you so much, Victoria. Like, what? So friggin' cool.
I know. I saw that and I was like, you get to call her Victoria. That's so fucking awesome.
Right.
And I saw people getting mad and I was like, when you're that close with your boyfriend's parents, like,
what is she supposed to call it? Mrs. Beckham?
Mrs. Beckham? Like, you do that? Like, I don't see Please. That happening. I don't see Victoria Beckham wanting to be called Mrs. Beckham. That automatically ages you.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see that at all. Which is, it's just hilarious thing to get annoyed at. Like, that's the kind of relationship that they have, clearly. And what a the picture that they posted to announce the engagement was beautiful. It looks like she's got a freaking rock.
Great rock. She was also wearing a dress designed by Victoria Beckham, of course.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So,
wow. Of course she was.
Great fucking life for these two.
Wow. We wish them the best. I'm with you. I'm rooting for these two. They are very young, but, you know, following in the footsteps that have been created for you, I guess, with her parents. And I think Nicola's parents are also still married. Nicola's mom is her father's third wife, but they're still together. So, yeah, it's something.
Yeah, there's still hope.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are here with two very special guests. We have Brandy and Tish Cyrus. Welcome to the show. They're here to talk about their new podcast. I am so ready, so pumped. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. This is my first guest appearance on a podcast.
Wow.
Ever.
What yes. an honor. This is huge. And as soon as I saw the name of your guys' podcast, Sorry We're Stoned, I was like, they got to come on the show immediately because I have never sat down with two people as guests that are so open about weed and smoking. Like, we talk about it on our show separately from with guests, but I'm just pumped to dive into it. Like I said, their podcast is called Sorry We're Stoned. Comes out on Thursdays, right?
Yes, Thursdays. So wait, today is Thursday. So
yes. This isn't live though, so this will come out on Monday. Comes out on Thursdays. I want to know who came up with the idea. Why did you guys start this?
Before we dive into this, I feel like since this is new territory for Tish to be a guest, Mom, are you going to get stoned on this podcast?
You know, I'm not because it's so early for me. It's 10 a.m. So like, I'm not a real like morning kind of wake and bake girl. I feel like that's pushing it a little bit. So usually I'm waiting a little more to the evening hours to actually get stoned. And I don't know, I should do a little backstory here. I had never gotten high until I was 42, which is crazy. So I had never smoked weed ever. And I actually was on a bus that caught on fire. We were touring. Me and Molly were on tour and my brand new bus caught on fire and burnt to the ground. And it was very traumatizing and I couldn't sleep on the road after that. And so of course I always say someone, Molly suggested that I smoke weed because someone gave me an Ambien and it made me feel terrible. And so she was like, I'm telling you, Mom, that's a chemical. Are you willing to put that in your body? And you're not willing to just smoke weed, which is natural. And so I tried it and it helped me sleep and I loved it. And so that's kind of how I started smoking.
I love it. That's a great story. And I actually did roll something just in case you guys were going to like bring up something to spark. I was like, I want to be prepared just in case they start smoking. I've said it to Fran before. I was like, my dream is just to smoke a joint or a blunt with the Cyrus family. We're basically doing it right now. Brandy, you have a podcast with Wells Adams, who we love, and he's been on our show before as well. So you're not new to the podcasting game.
Right. So Wells and I actually, we've been doing this for years now.
Long time. Yeah. Yeah.
Started this really early on, and literally for like a year, we just did our podcast for fun. We didn't get ads for it or anything. We were just like doing it. And so now obviously we monetize it and it's become a bigger thing, but I think we were just so shocked that people really wanted to listen to us every week. And we still are. But it's been such a fun thing and such a great way to connect with fans and in a way that you really don't get to in any other way. So I've been talking to my mom. Like, we had a television show on Bravo. It was interior design focused. And after that, we were just always saying, like, we got to do something else together. We need another project. And so I've been telling her forever that we need to start a podcast, like for so long. And then I think because of COVID with the lockdown and everything, my mom, you know, actually got some free time, which normally she doesn't have because she manages both my sisters. And because she was trapped in the house, I finally like nailed her down to recording a podcast episode. And now that we're doing it, Tish, you love it.
I love it. Like, I honestly, some days Brandy will get busy and she'll push on me an hour and I'm like, no, I'm here and I'm ready. I'm stoned and ready. Come on. But I think, you know, back to your question about how we came up with the idea, when we very first started it, I literally was so boring. Like, I would just sit there and like not really know what to say. And I was really guarded in my answers. And so literally, got high. Brandy was like, Mom, you need to smoke a joint because you are like not yourself. And so I did. And I have this sign in my office that says, sorry, we're stoned. It said, we're stoned. And so Brandy or one of us looked up and they were like, should we call this Sorry We're Stoned? Like, it's kind of like, here we are sitting under the Sorry We're Stoned sign and I'm getting high. So that's kind of how the name came about. And I really, especially with people my age, I've been reading a lot about people that do start to smoke later on or moms that are now smoking that really feel like they're better moms because of it. And I just became so interested in it. So at some point when we kind of get going, I really want to have a segment on ours where we talk to people about how we changed or affects their lives because it's so taboo still for most people to talk about. And for me, I don't drink. I don't drink wine. I don't drink at all. I never have. And I never could have imagined myself smoking pot. Like, it's insane. Because with my kids, I was like, right. It was like, absolutely not. Like,
it's crazy because I feel like, you know, so many families now have similar situations. Like, my parents definitely, you know, smoked when they were younger. And then when they had kids, I'm the oldest. I have two younger siblings. And it was like hidden. Like, we didn't realize until we got older, we were like, oh shit, they were doing this on the side and we didn't even know. And now it's funny because it's almost become like a family thing. Like, I haven't been with my parents during quarantine and everything, but my little sister has. And she has been texting me. She's like, you know, me and dad just have like a routine down. Like, and we're buddies now. We're smoking buddies. And it's just a hilarious thing because now I feel like, like you said, people don't really talk about this with their families, but it's a great way for all families to connect.
I'm not even kidding. Like, the first like time that we smoked together, Brandy's really the only non-smoker in the family. It should be called Sorry, She's Stoned or I'm Stoned.
But, Sorry, Mom Stoned.
I love Sorry, Mom Stoned. That's actually good.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Bran?
Like an edible, but you know, which you don't like.
Ugh, no, but the crazy thing is now that I'm open about it, I have a few friends, girlfriends, that they also smoke with their kids now. And one of my really good friends just went on a little vacation and it was her and her husband and her kids. And she said it was the best time they've ever had because they literally in the evenings, because they were quarantined, would literally get high together and watch movies and talk. And they were like more open in conversation. And this, how amazing it was like to connect on that level in some ways that you really haven't. And it really is nice to sit around and, you know, smoke together. And it just, I don't know. It's weird because I never as like even, you know, even a few years ago, I would have never even considered smoking pot with my family. And, but now I do. And I think, I don't know, it's really nice because now that they're older, we're also friends, you know, like I'm not just Mama Bear. So I really love it. And I just think that there's so many benefits that come from it. And again, I'm not a drinker. So, I have so many issues with that. So, I just really do think, first of all, I can't believe that we're allowed to go buy alcohol and we can't go buy a plant.
I'm with you. I feel the same way. I'm not really, I drink, but I would much rather smoke. Like I don't love drinking. I'll do it if I'm going out and whatnot. But if I'm just hanging out at my house, like I'm just smoking weed. Like I'm not going to pour myself a glass of wine to watch TV. I'm going to smoke a joint, then watch the show. I want to know who, for both of you, who is your favorite family member to get high with?
Let me think about that.
About this is like we like recently in the past couple of years, like because I don't usually smoke it, like I'm usually the only one not smoking when we're all together. Like, I mean, truly. And I'll tell you, like, in years past, when the family gets together, it's usually holidays when we're all together, and it's usually a fist fight and like getting arguments about like stupid shit, like aliens, whether aliens exist. 1 year, we got a huge fight about it. And since everyone started smoking, we have way more fun.
I'm serious. I was going to say that, but I'm like, is that okay to say? Because honestly, that is true. When all five kids are together, they always find something to argue about. When everybody is smoking, that does not happen at all. I feel like this last Christmas and the Christmas before were our two best Christmases ever because everybody, we ate dinner, we did our thing, and then we smoked and we hung out together for longer than we ever would have with no issues whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't know. It might be Trace that I like.
Really?
You know what? Just because now I don't see him as often. And I think he's still so shocked that I smoke that it's just really fun to see his reaction with me smoking. It's just so funny.
I see that. I think for me, like since I don't really smoke marijuana, like I'm usually just around everybody while they're high. Cause when I eat an edible, I just go to sleep. Like it just chill out and have like less anxiety and be sleepy, which I love. But I think for me, the most fun person to be around when they're high is by far my dad, because when he's like so boring and just like quiet, doesn't really want to hang, doesn't want to talk, just wants to go sit in a dark room and like play his guitar. But when he's smoking, he's like so pumped about life and he's just like so enthusiastic and so much fun to be around. And so like literally if I ever bring friends over, or I'll never forget when my dad met my boyfriend, I was like, Mom, you got to tell him he's got to smoke sometime, come over. Like he has to be high or this is not going to go well. Anyway.
No. Okay. Stop it right there, because that's if you get to be around him for 1 hour and then you walk out the door. This man takes one hit of weed and he is a complete psychopath. Like, it's like, I can't, he gets so hyper. Like he usually is kind of one to sit and play music and be quiet and not be socialized. When he is stoned, it is insane. Like I have to be high too, for sure, because I cannot tolerate him if he is so hyped on life. If he takes one hit and it blows his mind. He's out talking to trees for real.
Did he take one hit and then jump on Old Town Road, or how did that work out?
Let me think about that. Did we smoke in the studio? Oh, I'm sure we did. I'm sure we did. Yeah, that was a fun writing session. So, I'm pretty sure he did smoke there. And he is much more creative, but it's like kind of an insane thing where he'll start. I'm literally just saying no to everything he says. No, no, no. Like,
yeah,
don't talk. It's insane the things that this man's like. And when I say talk to trees, like, mama, I just went outside and the tree told me this. I'm like, okay.
It's like he's on shrooms, not weed.
Totally. I'm like, and he is like dead serious when he tells me what the trees say.
That's hilarious.
It's amazing. It's a good connection. That's, and you know what? It seems like it would be a ton of fun. Now I'm curious, Brandy, like, because obviously you, like we said, been in the podcast game for a while. What were your tips for your mom when you started? Like, has anything been off limits, or is it just kind of like, let's sit and just see where this shit goes?
So it's funny that you say off limits, because we actually have a segment called Off Limits, because she
amazing.
Do any episodes without wanting to talk about her favorite things. And I'm like, other podcast. That's the literal title of my other podcast. We can't talk about our favorite things, but we do, and we call it Off Limits. But no, I think like the biggest thing for my mom was that she would get on there and just like not know what to say and be really like shy about her answers and overthink. But the minute we started letting her get high beforehand, it like she said, it totally changed the game. And she would just like, you know, talk without overthinking. And she would say really funny things, but also like, you know, like, I don't know, more of her personality comes out, which I think is really great. But now that we're on a roll, I mean, we're like 5 or 6 episodes in, and it's totally, we've got a flow going. We're still ironing out having some sort of structure, because we love to just sit around and like shoot the shit. But it's been great. I think my mom's a natural at it. We've actually already started talking about her maybe launching another podcast of her own. And honestly, most episodes that we have guests, she just starts talking and I can't get a word in. Like, this went me having to pilot this podcast to like, she just takes over and I barely get to speak.
So this really is Sorry Mom Stoned. Like, this is just like,
do we need really, to cross out the where?
It really might mom. Be like a little like rebrand.
That might be a cool logo.
Episodes in.
That might Seriously. Be a cool logo if you cut out the where and put the mom.
That's actually
and you could
really
still
good.
Call it Sorry We're Stoned, but you yes. just the logo yes. could be mom.
It's just like a different fun design.
Yeah, Tish, this really seems like you're calling. And I will say, it sounds like weed has changed the Cyrus family's lives and my own. I'll admit it. Like, I understand what you're saying, Brandy, when you're talking about Tish just like opening up more when she smokes. And I would do the same thing before we recorded the podcast. Like, when we're at home right now, but when we were in the office, I would like sneak out and go smoke quickly and then be like, all right, guys, I'm going to the bathroom. Then I would come back into the studio and Fran would be like, you're fucking high as shit. Yeah. I'd be like, and this podcast is going to be amazing.
Exactly. And it's so funny because when we did our show, Cyrus versus Cyrus, it was the same thing. Like, I would be ready to lose my mind during the interview process. You know, like, you have to sit and rehash, like, you know, all the things about the design and the people. And I would be so frustrated because they would ask us the same question so many freaking times that I just could not take it one more second. So finally, the guy that was our showrunner would stop and go, can somebody just get Tish? Like, can she just smoke pot? Like, because I would be so upset and be like, I'm leaving. I'm like, whatever. And then I would get high and I'd be like, all right, let's talk about this. So yeah, there's a little bit of a stoner Tish on the Cyrus versus Cyrus show that I wasn't as open about, but so that's a little confession for that show.
Love Amazing. It. And did you used to get mad at any of your kids prior to smoking weed? Brandy, shake your head. Yes.
I have no idea. So like, even on like Miley's tours and stuff, I would be like, everybody's getting drug tested. No, I'm not even joking. Like, weed was absolutely no. Like, any of my kids that I thought were smoking pot, I would lose my mind. I'm not even kidding.
You didn't even like that dad did it. You said, like, your entire marriage, he, like,
I didn't even know.
Didn't know, yeah.
I had no idea he smoked weed, but this one time, it is insane that I did this, but he and this guy named Don Von Trass, who wrote Achy Breaky Heart with him, came to our house, and Billy Ray truly had this massive teepee on our farm, and he would literally go to the teepee and stay for days, and I had no idea why. He'd just come in at night. Now I realize, because he was getting stoned out of his brain, and I didn't know. And so one time he was out, and I had no idea, and he came home, and I just thought I smelled it, and Don had been there. And he was like, what can I do? Why are you so mad? Like, let me make it up to you. What can I do? I'm like, buy me a new car.
Yes.
He did. He took me and bought me a new car because he was in so much trouble.
He's going to take that car away now that he knows how much you love weed.
This was so long ago. Oh, he literally like talks to me all the time. He goes, I can't believe I had to be a closet stoner my whole life. And now you're the biggest pothead in the family. Like it is like a thing.
It really is. And even I remember when Noah started smoking, like you were livid. You were like, no, she's turning into Molly. What did I do?
No. I know. I know. I was so upset.
Hilarious. And then was it the just that first time you smoked and all of a sudden were you like, okay, I need to stop being mad at them? How did you break it to the rest of the family that you were no longer going to scream at them?
She hit it. I will never forget when Noah Cyrus called me on the phone and found your stash and was bawling crying.
She was so upset because she was just like, you're the only person in my whole life that doesn't smoke pot besides Brandy. And so she was like, definitely not happy about it. Did not speak to me for like 3 weeks at all, like zero words. And then Molly, on the other hand, I was ready to kill her because like she was the one I told you got me to smoke once the bus burnt down. She was like, Mom, just come in the bathroom, just sit right here. No one's going to know. And she like rolled me a joint or whatever to smoke it. And I took one puff. She opens the bathroom door and her entire band is standing in the door. And she's like, Mom, smoking pot.
Classic. That is so classic.
Like, when you start filming
your parents because you think it's like the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, especially, man. When she's like, Mom, just stay in here. No one's going to know. And literally called the entire band to her room to watch me smoke pot.
I just love how the transition like is blowing my mind. And even Brandy, you not smoking weed is also blowing my mind. Like why strictly edibles?
I think it's something about the actual like smoking of something that I just can't get down with.
That's like Fran.
My boyfriend, ugh, God love him. He's South African. So I know it's not a big thing here, but he smokes hookah. I'm telling you, he smokes from the minute he wakes up till the minute he goes to bed. Wakes up, whereas I would make a coffee, he makes a hookah. Wow. And he's puffing on it before I'm even out of bed. Like, it's crazy how much he smokes it. And he loves it so much. Like, he wants me to like it and do it with him so badly. And I've tried, and I just don't like it. Like, there's something about smoking something I
totally am with you on that. I think it's just like the actual smoke. Like, it's just I get like a burning feeling that I just can't really get rid of. And it's like kind of unpleasant. And I'm just like, there's so many other ways to like reach the end game here where I don't have to actually
totally. I love
smoke it. Yeah.
Gummies, brownies, like anything like that. And like, and you get high, like that's great.
Yeah. I feel like with edibles though, it's so like you can't really judge the high or like,
right.
Cause I've done the edibles and I do not like it at all. I just like, I don't know. It just doesn't. And I think there's something calming. Like I totally get the smoke thing. Cause at first that really freaked me out, but there's something just so calming about it too.
That's what my boyfriend says too.
Yeah. I was going to say, me and Tish are the complete opposite. We're like, feed us that into our lungs. But yeah, exactly. I actually read something the other day that made more sense to me about it was that, you know how breathing is such a technique to calm yourself down. It's the same thing with smoking. You're breathing in and out, but you're just inhaling something. Right. So it makes sense. And edibles are so hit or miss. You can get a batch of edibles that are so strong and then eat the same one and you feel nothing. That's
the only thing I hate. And then if you eat another one and the other one kicks in an hour, then you're completely whacked. Like, I just cannot do that at all.
That's so funny. It's bad. I really only like to do them when I'm at home, like if I'm in my own house, so I'm not like, so I don't get like way too high out somewhere and can't function. But I'd totally get that. You just kind of know where to get them.
Yep, yeah, definitely. What has been your favorite episode that you guys recorded so far?
Maybe, I think probably the one where my best friend, since I've been friends with my best friend since we were 14. And so we had her on the other day. And for me, I think that was really fun. Just this full circle moment of she was with me the night I met my husband when I was 22 years old. And so it was just so, like, she was so nervous about coming on. But I think it was just really fun and just such a cool moment for us to talk about, you know, our childhood and the things that we did with Brandy. It was really cool for me to have her on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was really fun. I also really love the episode that we have coming out today. So this would have been, so if you guys are listening to this, this is our episode from last week. It'll be our newest episode. One of our segments is called Dear MT, where we let fans call a voicemail and leave us a message asking for advice. I think finally, now that we're so many episodes in, people are catching on that they can call us and get on the podcast. And so now they're leaving really great questions. And I feel like this past week we had some great questions and we gave some pretty damn good answers, I'm going to say. And so it was like really fun. I think for both of us, that's the most fun part of the show, is getting to hear from the listeners and get to answer their questions and really feel like you're connecting with them.
I have one question for you guys. You ask us how, because I really like the name of your podcast. How did that come about?
So you guys know Barstool Sports. That's where our podcast is from. We're part of their whole network. Barstool started out as mainly guys, and then they hired a woman CEO, Erica Nardini. And then from there wasn't many girls at the time. This was in 2016. They had moved from Boston to New York. And my friend from high school got an internship, and he texted me because I congratulated him about it. And he basically was just like, you know, they're looking for some more girls. There's only the female CEO. There's no other girls here. They want a girl intern. So then I came in, and then 6 months later, Fran came in as an intern. And the guys always made a joke whenever a girl was in the office, they would just be like, chicks in the office, because it just, they weren't used to it. Now there's a ton of women, but they just weren't used to it. So we kind of took that name for ourselves and just owned it and made it our own thing. And that's really how it happened.
I love that.
So good.
That is so cool.
Yeah, because people get mad about the word chick sometimes. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, yeah, we're fucking chicks in the office.
I love being a chick.
People
are offended about everything. Like the other day, I forget what I said. Oh my gosh, that is crazy. And somebody goes, oh, you can't say that anymore. I was like, that is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I am batshit crazy, and I'm okay to admit it. So, I'm afraid to say anything anymore.
I know. That's why she's got to get so stoned, is because she...
Well, and then I really say things. That's why we did a couple lives, and then I was like, ooh, we better not do that anymore.
We can't.
No, but I get what you're saying, but you also, and this is something Fran and I struggle with too, because we'll be like, oh, we don't want to say this just in case this person gets mad or that person gets mad. But then that starts taking away from you being yourself and your own personality and just having fun. So you just gotta let it fly. You know, you're a good person, get high, let the shit flow, and you'll be fine.
That's what Brandy says, because I'm like, ooh, edit this out and edit that out and do, you know, and she's like, bomb, you have got to quit overthinking this. She was like, if we edit out everything that might offend somebody, like, our podcast is going to be so boring. So you know what? It's kind of, I'm glad to hear you say that too, because I've kind of just been like, okay, you're right. Like, we can't edit every single thing that we think somebody may be upset about. So
at the end of the day, you can't please everyone. Like, there's always going to be somebody that's unhappy with what you do or say. And you just you just can't worry about it. I have a friend who, like, she's constantly getting, like, criticized on her Instagram for, like, any little thing she does wrong, like, quote unquote wrong. And she's always so quick to apologize and correct herself. And I'm just post stories like, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. And I feel like the more she apologizes and the more she worries about it, like, the harder people are on her. I'm like, stop apologizing. Just do your thing. Like, if you just act like you don't care that they're upset, they'll stop being upset and they'll move on. Whereas, like, if you feed into it, then people feel like, oh, now I'm going to criticize her about this and this and this because I'm getting attention for it. And I just hate that.
Yeah. 100%. And even if you see one comment, like, seeing one comment or one DM, you think that's what the majority of people think. But thousands and thousands of people are saying shit. They're just listening and enjoying it.
Totally. You know what? That's like, I used to get so upset when It's good to hear you say that because I manage both girls and I work with a guy named Adam Lieber. And I used to get so upset when one person or even multiple people would, you know, say something about Molly or Noah or, you know, and I would just like be like, I'm saying something like I'm, and he was like, okay, Tish, you got to think there may be like 100 people that are saying like bad things or negative things or 200, but you got to think the world is buying the music. The world is listening. You cannot worry about the few people that are sitting behind their computers and saying those things. Like, don't waste your energy. And so that really did like resonate with me as like, okay, that's right. How many people are actually doing that? Like in the big scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. So that made me feel so much better. And I kind of let that go. And now I just don't even pay attention to it. But it really bothered me for a long time.
Right. And it's like, who do you know in your friend group or in your life that would comment mean shit to people? No one.
Zero.
Yeah.
Literally zero.
Yeah. It's something that you just we have had to adjust to. And it's like, you just have to keep telling yourself the same thing so that you kind of like train your brain not to, react, you know, overreact when it happens. Cause it's definitely tough. It took a long time for us to kind of get used to that and be like, okay, this is one person. Why are we freaking out so much? But it is, you know, it's just part of putting something out into the world.
It's so true.
Yeah. No matter what you do.
Like, and honestly, he always told me too, he goes, if you look at the people that have been the biggest artists or the biggest influences, like there's always a passion of either people love or hate you. And that's actually kind of a good thing because, you know, it means that you're interesting and you're doing something right. Because he was like, the biggest people that have influenced the world have had both love and hate. And I think that is absolutely true.
Definitely. You don't know anybody that is that famous or loved that gets zero hate because then they wouldn't be famous.
That's exactly right.
You mentioned that you manage both Miley and Noah. You're still managing both of them now?
I am, yeah.
And so, how's that?
You know what? It actually is really good. And I don't know how, because everybody's like, I don't know how you're so close to them and that works out. And I honestly don't know either. I just was kind of thrown into that, you know, when we moved here for Miley to do Hannah Montana, and I managed her by myself for quite some time. And then I had brought in another manager that co-managed her with me until she got a little bit older. And then I brought in Adam Lieber, who has co-managed her with me for 8 years. So, and then with Noah, I co-manage her with a guy named Zach Kardish, who's amazing. So yeah, I've always have been, and you think momager kind of gets a weird kind of bad name, but I think Brandy will tell you, like she said, I'm so busy and it's not just like a name that I say that I am, but yes, I'm their mom, but I also am like, I manage them. Like I'm their manager along with a team and I love it. And so, you know, when they were younger, it was harder because there were times that we would be on tour and I'd have to ground Miley and put her on, you know, and she'd be like, you're fired. And I'm like, you're not 18. And, you know, it was a whole thing. And now we're so close. And I think even more now that she's older, she respects me so much, which is scary sometimes. I'm like, it's a lot of pressure just because I don't want to make mistakes knowing that I'm also her mom, you know, like on decisions we make. Somehow it's worked out really well for us and I absolutely love it.
That's amazing. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think the thing that sets my mom apart from like a typical momager is I think my mom, like she co-manages, right? And so there's always like a 50-50, like somebody to bounce off of instead of it just being all on her. But the other thing is like at the end of the day, she's the mom first and she's always been that way. And I think that's the difference. And when you know, especially when Miley was younger or when Noah was younger and it's the whole, I'm mad, you're fired. My mom's like, great, fire me. See ya. Like we're, else I feel like needs to be the manager and
yeah
their kid needs this, whatever. And so they're, you know, they're too scared to like piss their kid off to like, that they'll be let go. Whereas my mom's like, great, more free time for me. Bye.
I think that's right. I think, and that's another thing that I'm really interested in talking about is like kids in the business, because I see it go really bad for the most part. I think kids wake up and they're 18 and they have no money. They've right. worked their whole childhood. Parents come, they quit their jobs and decide to become their manager. And if you are depending, and I think that happens most of the cases, you're depending on your kid to make money to survive in Los Angeles and pay the bills, the house bills and the whole thing. It is such a recipe for disaster. And so for me, I wasn't dependent on that because Billy Ray was so successful and we didn't need that. And, you know, at that time I was just a mom. So really being able to manage them, but not need it to survive or need it financially was a huge difference. And I think that that's probably what made it work the best, is because I could still be their mom and ground them. And like, I was still not, listen, everybody thinks Miley like is this wild thing. First of all, Miley doesn't even smoke pot anymore. She smokes only CBD. She doesn't drink. She's the cleanest person I know. She's like, she's just so solid. And of course she grew up in the public and there were those times where she was pushing the boundaries and we were arguing and I was punishing her and jumping gates to like, you know, just being full mama bear. But I think she always knew that I did those things because I loved her. And so it just worked. And now she is just so unbelievably, she's just incredible. Like, that's all I can say about, like, she's yoga and working out, eats clean and all this. So whatever I did, I feel like I did right. And, you know, now I'm in the throes with Noah, who's 20. So it is hard, but I think you have to be the mom first.
Yeah,
for sure.
Look, you guys have done an amazing job. We have been a huge fan of all of you guys. Just, you know, Noah's actually been on our show and we love speaking with her. She's just like almost intimidating because she's so cool. Like, she's just I'm way older than you, but you're so cool.
Miley, Brandy said this yesterday. Miley constantly goes, Noah's the coolest girl I know. Like, and she was like, I used to be cool. Noah's so much cooler than I, you know, she just says this all the time. Noah is cool. And I don't know whatever Noah's thing is, because she is cool. And I don't know where that came from so quickly. I don't know if it's from riding horses that she built comp. I don't know.
It's you guys. It's the whole family. Yeah, guys are fucking awesome.
Oh, thank you. But like, I literally just am in awe of Noah too, all the time.
She really does just like go to the beat of her own drum. You know what I mean? More than any of us, I think. And I think that's very cool.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. For sure. All right. We'll wrap up with you guys because we kept you a little bit over. But that was amazing. We loved speaking with you. Tish, we're honored that this was your first guest appearance on a podcast.
You're coming back on and we're smoking a fat joint.
Yeah. Can we please?
100%. Like, we're locking it in.
Anytime I'm ready to come back. I loved doing this.
Oh, no. I'm going to have our booker reach out to you.
You're screwed. You're going to have to do so many interviews with your mom now. Like, she's going to be like, yes.
I'm going to be so excited. I definitely want to come back on. And when this is over, can we hang in person?
Yeah.
100%. Next time we come to LA, we'll do it in person. We'll smoke in person. We'll set it all up. Brandy, I'm sorry.
Maybe we'll record outside 6 feet social distance if we have to.
Yes. Brandy, your mic cut out. What were you saying? Sorry.
I was just saying, I feel like Tish loves this because it's way less pressure. It's not her podcast anymore. She's like,
so much easier. I love it.
Yeah. And you could say whatever you want on our podcast. We let it all fly. So
great. Well, today was the best day ever, and I had so much fun. And thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming on. And everyone, check out their podcast, Sorry We're Stoned. It comes out on Thursdays. And Brandy, can you plug your podcast as well?
Yes, I have another podcast with my friend Wells Adams, your favorite Bachelor in Paradise bartender. And it is also on Apple and Spotify and everywhere you listen to podcasts. It's called Your Favorite Thing. And also follow us on Instagram if you want. I post a lot of horses and dogs and it's really fun. And my mom posts about weed and plants. So, yeah.
And all my kids.
Okay. Love it.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. Hopefully, we'll be going to the Cyrus family house to smoke a big fat joint with Tish and Billy Ray, because that would be my absolute dream. And we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Push it in, hear a shot. Take a pen, talk about. Fit the rope, play it out. Oh. Diamonds rolling in your thought, Lord. Oh, friend, fuck it up. Honesty is still the route. We respect only doubt. Cause we're falling either way as we down and out. Straight jacket in a red top. Subtle gaze, whispering tight legs. I'm never making hard to me. Meditation's on the scars. She had four pillars. She'd never felt far from a tree. Chief good, broke hearts, nice time. She never felt so lost. Cause in the woods she went. Punk shots to the storm she made. Snatching on her souls. Melodrama in the road she paved.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.